Hey folks, welcome back to Who Booked This? I'm J.R. Goldberg.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. But it's spooky month, and that was the trick.
Is that your Halloween costume? Are you dressing up as me for Halloween?
I am. Yes.
Oh, it's good.
I'm Stephen Graham.
I'm J.R. Goldberg.
All right. Can't get anything past him.
I think you saying my name is the first time that I've ever been on my cue, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's very bizarre. I don't understand. Yeah. What are we doing this week? You suggested last week that we watch the Chucky episode of Nitro.
I did suggest that, and okay. I apologize.
Before you apologize, in your head, like, what do you think that meant?
Well, like, I assume that Chucky, first of all, I don't think that I watched this episode live, or if I did, I probably went to bed before Chucky was on because I was like 13, right? So I went to bed pretty early on my face. But he couldn't wrestle, right? But like, I assumed that there would be like a lot of Chucky featured throughout the show.
Yeah. You would think he's like, hiding and like hunting and like murdering people and stuff.
Yeah, maybe he would kill a jobber or something.
Yeah,
you know.
But yeah. We get a 3-hour Nitro with 2 minutes of Chucky.
2 minutes of Chucky. Yeah.
But this is a Nitro from 1998, so it's very appropriate for our show.
There's a lot for us to talk about. That's for sure.
Oh my goodness! So this is the October 12th episode of WCW Monday Night Nitro.
Yeah.
They've hit the 3-hour. Is this when there are 3 hours every week, or is this sporadic 3 hours they were doing for a while?
I think it was 3 hours every week by this time.
Okay. So, I gotta say, we didn't get Nitro until like 97, 98. And even then, it was like aired after Raw.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was on TSN and Raw would be aired. Well, it would air 15 minutes late because of to avoid any swearing or chair shots or anything like that. If there was a chair shot or something like that on Raw, they would just show the shot of the crowd.
Sure, yeah.
The entire time. That's what we would get. They've changed that, but yeah. So they'd air like Raw like 15 minutes late so they could edit shit out. And then Nitro would air after that. So I wasn't staying up in high school till
2 in the morning.
2 in the morning to watch all of Nitro. So I didn't really, I don't know, it might have been like 2000 where I actually was able to watch it at a reasonable time, and then it was sucky, so I didn't really. But what can you do? So I never really saw much of this stuff. Like I saw the
Guess like I would watch. I mean, I would turn Nitro on at 8, you know, and I would watch the first hour of Nitro without any competition. And then I would always switch over for the first segment on Raw, you know. And then after that, I would like flip back and forth. But I think that I would mostly stay on Raw if I was to like anecdotally, you know, without any stats to back me up. Like tell you my viewing habits. I think that I probably watched more Raw than Nitro.
And I think once you get into 97, that's probably pretty fair.
Yeah. I mean, Raw was probably a better show. I mean, although Raw was not a great show.
No.
But it was better than Nitro.
It was basically the main event stuff. And then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything else. But boy. Okay. And so you watch the first hour of Nitro most times.
Yeah, I would almost always watch the first hour of Nitro with, you know, because it had no competition.
Yeah.
You know?
So the first hour of this Nitro, I think there's one match.
Yeah. So first of all, there's not even a segment that sets up anything for this week until like 25 minutes in. There's literally just 25 minutes of recap before we get to anything new.
I wrote down the opening video plays at 42 minutes in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about right. Yeah.
Which actually with commercials, that's probably the first hour. They probably didn't have an opening during the first hour.
Yeah, that may be true, actually. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah. Golly.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's awful. Like, the first hour of this show is interminable.
So, like, the first hour, what do we get? We get Bischoff talking to security, saying, don't let Ric Flair in.
Yep. We get the
Sting and Bret Hart
recap
stretcher.
Yeah.
Last week. We get the Nitro Girls and dancing.
There's a great moment, too, by the way. I want to talk about that, the Hart Sting backstage brawl a little bit.
Because, that's next. Because first we got them leaving in a stretcher, and then we get a recap of the brawl.
Oh, yeah. Then we get
the first commercial break.
So we get this recap of the brawl where Bret Hart vertical suplexes Sting through a table, and then Sting is on the broken table, you know, and Bret Hart picks up both his legs, and, like, you can see the wheels turning in Bret Hart's mind, like, oh, shit, I can't do the headbutt to the stomach or a sharpshooter here. So he just sort of, like, punches him in the knee or something.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
So after we get the brawl, then we go to Thunder, where Bret Hart called out Sting.
Yeah.
And then we get
Are we at the point where they show the clips from Hogan chain wrestling Bret yet?
I don't know if I wrote that down. So maybe.
So they show the match where Bret turns on Sting, right?
Okay. That's probably it.
Yeah. So they go back like a month, and they show, like, the story going in was like, oh, Hogan wants to prove he's a better wrestler than Bret. They show all these clips of Hogan doing, like, hammerlock escapes and chain wrestling with Bret.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I really want to watch that match, actually.
So we've had a million Bret Hart Sting recaps.
Yeah.
That's followed up with a reveal that WCW now has a MasterCard.
Yes. Yeah. And they spent some time at the New York Stock Exchange. Yeah.
Did you catch the music they were playing on this?
I did not.
It's the Hardy Boys music.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
So whoever edited this, it's hilarious.
Yeah. There's another great moment later where Jericho wrestles, and Jericho's music is Break the Walls Down.
Yeah, of course. I love that. They also do it with, like, Ray Jr. if he comes out.
Yeah.
They play the 619 music.
Yes, they do. Yeah. For anyone not watching wrestling in 1998, Chris Jericho's music was like a stock music version of Pearl Jam's Even Flow.
It was.
Yeah. It was not Break the Walls Down.
No. Yeah. It was like DDP's version of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Whoever was doing those, probably Jimmy Hart. So after all of these recaps and this MasterCard reveal, we finally get...
We also get a recap of Meng versus Chris Adams.
No, before that, we actually get the opening to the show.
Oh, yeah, okay, very good, yeah.
So we get an open to the show, and then we go back to Thunder again. And Meng beats the shit out of Chris Adams.
Yeah.
And then Wrath appears, and I'm, like, psyched, and we got cool shit for once.
Yeah. Yeah, we get like a weird, awkward brawl between Meng and Wrath.
You know what? I've always liked Adam Bomb.
Yeah, Wrath is awesome.
And I love Meng, so yeah. I was psyched.
Yeah. I wonder what the blow-off for that was. Like, I'm not going to watch any more Nitros to find out, but I wonder, did they wrestle on that Halloween Havoc?
That's a good question.
We should look that up.
We'll save that. That's something we're going to talk about in the future.
Sure.
Yeah. Get to that. But so now we get a match.
Yeah, we get Wrath versus Lodi.
Meng versus Lodi, isn't it?
No, it's Wrath versus Lodi.
Oh, okay. I wrote Meng versus Lodi.
Yeah.
But it is Wrath, and Wrath looks awesome.
Yeah.
And then Meng appears.
Meng does come out. Yeah.
And we finally get, like, a really cool brawl, but then it's cut because they go to a promo from last week. From Eric Bischoff.
From Eric Bischoff. I swear to God, like, I wrote at least, if you did a running count, do you, like, honestly, every single hour has more Eric Bischoff segments than matches.
Yeah, but, like, this here, we're in a cool brawl, right? These two monsters are brawling, and they cut to a video package from last week, like mid-brawl.
Yes.
What the fuck?
I also wrote, so this video package, they literally show a recap of Eric Bischoff in the ring on his cell phone yelling at Ric Flair's wife, right?
Yep.
And I wrote in a note, I said, man, imagine thinking that someone talking on a cell phone is good television. And then right after that, I wrote, there's at least two segments per Raw where someone is talking to Stephanie McMahon on the telephone.
Yeah.
Did you know, this is actually, I mean, I find it interesting. Do you know the phrase phoning it in comes from like when they used to do acting shows around the turn of the century on cruise ships or like ferries? And cast members would get sick and couldn't perform, but they would have to like have their lines delivered anyway. So the characters would like deliver the information and the exposition via a one-sided phone call.
That's amazing.
So that's what phoning it in is.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, this Nitro episode might be phoned in.
Yeah.
So besides getting yelled at on the phone, we get like Reed Flair beats the shit out of Eric Bischoff or something.
Yeah.
But, that was last week. We go to commercial. We never find out what happens with Ming and Wrath. And I was
no, yeah, they, no, no, yeah, they just sort of, I guess they stopped fighting, right?
I guess so. They were civil. We get a hype video for DDP and Goldberg, which is one of my favorite matches ever.
Yeah, it's one of the best WCW matches of all time. Yeah. Certainly one of the best WCW matches from like this era, easily.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Another one of the best WCW matches from this era is our next match, Kendall Windham versus Dale Thornburg. This is amazing. So Dale Thornburg is he becomes the Kiss Demon, right?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
But before that, he's part of WCW's Pit Crew.
Yes, he is. Yeah. I don't know if that's a shoot or not. I honestly don't.
He might have been.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. By the way, like, that's hilarious. Like, being on a Pit Crew is, like, difficult. It takes training, you know? Like, for Dale Thornburg, they just, like, threw Dale Thornburg in there to, like, try and promote his terrible wrestling career. That's awful. I feel bad.
Didn't he do something with baseball and TNA?
Well, he was a pro baseball player.
Okay. Well, yeah. Why was he on a fucking Pit Crew then?
Who knows? I mean, Jesus. So, like, I could be getting this wrong, right? But, like, I think he was, like, a minor league baseball player, and then he went to Power Plant, and then I think he played baseball again for a bit, maybe, and then was the Kiss Demon after that. But I could be wrong.
Weird.
Yeah.
So, Kendall Windham hit a nice... Kendall Windham? I love Kendall Windham.
No, oh, I don't love him. Dale Thornburg was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Kendall Windham was fine.
Yeah, yeah. He hits an elbow drop off the apron.
Yeah, that looked really good, actually.
And then, I don't know what happened, but I wrote down, Thornburg hits kick, is injured, and gets win.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So, like, he hits a bicycle kick, like Sheamus's bicycle kick, but, like, clearly lands and blows out his knee. And then, like, poor Kendall Windham just lies there while he, like, while Dale Thornburg writhes around in pain and then eventually crawls over and covers him.
And what's bizarre about this is, like, no one in the crowd knows who either of these two guys are.
Oh, no. The crowd could care less.
Oh, boy. So that's that. Yeah. And then we get the Nitro Girls dancing for the second time.
We do get the Nitro Girls dancing. They also show an advertisement or a promo for some contest that they were running that was called the Show Us Your Nitro Party Contest.
Oh, yeah.
Where you
sent
in a VHS tape of, like, you and your bros watching Nitro.
Yeah.
And my holy grail now is for the WWE Network to upload all of the videotapes that got sent in to WCW.
Maybe next week's Hidden Gems, it'll be...
Yeah. Like, right now that we have the last Battle of Atlanta, I want all the Show Us Your Nitro part of it. That's the last true holy grail in wrestling. Because I'll bet there's some wild shit sent in on this.
Oh, I'm sure there was. Oh my god. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
So next we continue with Sting, and he comes out.
Well, no, first they showed another recap of Goldberg destroying the flock. Right?
Okay. Sorry. And
it's actually one of the highlights of this show, because Goldberg hits Canyon with a spear and it is unreal. Like, I mean, he kills Chris Canyon. It's like one of the few things on this show that I would tell people they have to watch. I probably wouldn't watch this show. I would probably just go back to a week before and watch it live, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So Sting's here. He calls out Brett. The Ultimate Warrior comes out. He says something. I don't know what.
So he has an insane promo, but the first line in it is amazing, because he says to Sting, "It's amazing how far a little dab of paint will take you in this business."
That's pretty good.
It's actually pretty good.
I love that after this, and I had no idea what Warrior said, but the announcers tell me that he's going to be Sting's tag partner.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's what he said.
So there's a couple things that I have here. First of all, am I the only one that's like weirded out by this era's Sting's, like his ring gear, his like singlet that he wears has this like weird exterior dick padding.
It's a lot. It's like the Batman and Robin, like,
yeah, it's like a fucking cot piece, like literally. And I just stare at it the whole time. I mean,
I think it was fine until they turned everything red.
Yeah.
And then it just looked weird.
It does. I mean, the red face Sting, like Wolfpack Sting, is terrible. It's so bad.
Yeah.
But this also, maybe you can answer this question for me. I don't really know. So the Warrior ends his promo with the famous same Warrior time, same Warrior place, same Warrior channel.
Yeah, because he was Batman.
Yes, he was Batman, right?
And he has the Warrior symbol, like the bat symbol.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks previous, right? Yeah. Does he say this multiple times? Or was he trying to make that a catchphrase at the time?
I think it was his catchphrase.
Oh, man, that is so good. It's amazing when you think about it, how much those terrible Batman movies influence WCW, because like Sting later would do the like riddle me this, riddle me that,
yeah, he would.
My big black bat. And,
yeah. Oh man, it's so good. By the way, so we normally reveal what we're watching next at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And next week is our Halloween episode, so we have something special planned for that. We won't tell you what it is, just because you could probably guess, but whatever. But in 2 weeks, we are going to watch Warrior Hogan 2 from Halloween Havoc and as much of the build as we can stomach. So
that sounds great. Let's do it.
We will find out more about this, this Warrior Batman situation. So we'll have more answers in 2 weeks for you there.
Love it.
So next up, I just wrote Bischoff and Hogan and Giant. Do you have anything more about that?
Yeah, I mean, like, so they just, first of all, like, the main of this show with no build whatsoever is Hulk Hogan and Bret Hart versus Sting and Ultimate Warrior.
Not only no build whatsoever, 2 hours from it. Like, they're an hour into the show.
Yeah. Oh, more than that. Like, this is like a mid-hour segment. This happens at, like, 9:30.
Like, couldn't you have at least told us last week? Like,
people, oh, yeah.
That seems like a huge match.
Yeah. The advertised match was Goldberg versus Giant, no DQ.
Yeah.
So, like, literally, this Nitro is a pay-per-view.
This Nitro has more star power in their two main events than, like, any WWE pay-per-view this year.
Oh, yeah, by far. Yeah. which is a problem. But and it's not a problem solved by putting Triple H and Undertaker in the main event either.
And Shawn Michaels.
And Shawn Michaels, and yeah. Kane. Oh, God.
Or even if that show happens. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you see their advertisement today, which was the Undertaker's urn with the DX logo spray painted on it, which is probably not in the greatest taste.
No, we're not talking about Saudi Arabia. Let's
move on. We're not going to talk about Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
That's all right.
So after this, we get Wario's promo from last week. What the fuck? Okay. Like, there's... People complain that WWE does too many recaps of stuff you've seen.
Oh, yeah. Like,
they played half of Nitro from last week on this show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, honestly, like, my note right now, by the way, we've had, what, two matches so far, probably, that were a combined 6 minutes.
One match.
No, two. There's the Wrath squash and the
Kendall. Yeah, I forgot Wrath wrestled, too. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So we've had two matches so far. I mean, this show is awful. I mean, legitimately terrible.
It's awesome, though, in its terribleness.
Yeah.
It was hard to pay attention to, though. We get
a pretty decent match, by the way, next.
Oh, we get a couple decent matches.
We do get a couple decent matches. But this next match is the start of the turnaround of the show, which is Alex Wright versus Fit Finlay.
And Alex Wright claims that he is the best European wrestler.
He does claim that.
So he wants to face Fit Finlay, who's a European wrestler, to prove it.
That's because he's already beaten Norman Smiley, another European wrestler, and the British Bulldog, whom he calls the British Jellyfish.
Which is great.
Which is great.
Yeah. This is actually, like...
He also claims that that Fit Finlay ended his father's career.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's great because they, like, Shivani throws it to Mike Tenay, being like, all right, Mike Tenay, like, this is your time to shine. Tell us more about that. And Tenay's like, I have no fucking idea what he's talking about.
Which is great, too. But this is a good angle. I like this. I don't remember it at all, but this is a good little angle.
Yeah, no, it is a very good, it is a good angle. The match is like a fine 5 minute television match, you know?
Alex, you know, this Wright is kind of awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Finlay looks really good in it. They both throw stiff European uppercuts at each other.
Yeah.
Finlay hot shots himself on the ropes from like halfway across the ring, which looks gross.
Yeah.
And then Alex Wright wins with his feet on the ropes, which is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish these two got a longer match because I think they gelled really well.
If they had 5 extra minutes, it would be like a great little TV match.
Yeah. So next up,
we get the real main event.
No. We get Tony Schiavone telling us that there's a Hollywood star here tonight.
Oh, yes, we do get that.
He reminds us, even though I don't remember him saying it before, but he reminds us there's some Hollywood star here tonight.
Yes.
Okay. Let's move on.
Yeah. Oh, also, all right, let me ask you this question, because, like, I was watching this semi-closely, like, throughout, you know, but, like, so... Later, when we get to the segment that we're actually watching this for, and, like, you know, I assume that that's the Hollywood star talking about.
I assume so, too, but I don't know.
But, like, later...
They might have been talking about Hogan.
He could have been talking about Hogan. Later in that segment, Shivani says, like, oh, this must be all the, like, weird laughter we're hearing throughout the night. Did you hear any weird laughter?
Nope, not a single laughter.
Okay, yeah. I don't hear it either. Like, no, all right, fine, good, okay. I'm glad that I wasn't paying attention. I didn't want to skirt my response.
I completely was confused by that line, too. But I wasn't super paying attention either because it was really boring. So there might have been weird laugh. But you think if you heard weird laughter, your ears would have perked up.
Also, like, I mean, Chucky's laugh is pretty distinct.
Yeah.
So, all right, fine. Well, let's assume that there was no laughter throughout the show. Or if there was, it was, like, during commercial.
Yeah.
Clearly for the live crowd.
You bet. Like, maybe the WWE edited out to make Nitro look worse.
That could also be true. Or they didn't want to pay Brad Dourif the, like, 10 cents in royalties that they would have to.
That's good.
Yeah.
Boy, okay. Next up.
The real main event. The real main event of Nitro.
Laparca, Ciclope, and Volano 5 versus Chavo Guerrero Jr., Psicosis, and Super Callo.
Yeah.
How excited were you when Laparca came out dancing?
I mean, like, this match is legitimately great. Ciclope does the Hamrick bump for no reason. Laporta does the Mr. Niebla faceplant apron bump.
Even before the match, Laporta pretends to slip off the apron.
Yeah.
It's the best thing ever. It's he like, so does good. A fake slip off the apron.
Yeah. Like, they're having a ball throughout this whole thing. I mean, and then, of course, like, the work is insane. Like, Psychosis does a senton from the top rope to the floor.
Yeah.
The only thing that this match was missing was, like, either Super Kalo's amazing Tope Conquilo or Super Kalo screwing something up really badly. And we got neither of those things. But otherwise, the match was very good.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love this. This is those short little sprint lucha trios that should have been on every Nitro.
Yeah.
At one point, too, we get the LWO come out with.
Yes. Yeah, they come out. They don't interfere. They come out afterwards, right?
They come out and watch for a bit, and then Chavo wins, and then they do some shit. But look at this group. Eddie Guerrero, El Dandy, Damian 666, and Hector Garza.
That's so good. That's so good. Oh, man.
And they come out. There was one part of this I didn't like. So Eddie Guerrero was out here to recruit. He wants more members for the LWO. They got to band together because the luchadors get treated like shit by WCW, which not really an angle, just kind of what happened.
Yeah, true.
But so you have this serious promo by Eddie. Everything's really cool. But then you got fucking Chavo Guerrero jumping around with a hobby horse.
The hobby horse, yeah.
Just like it takes away from the moment a little bit.
Yeah.
He leaves. He's like, fuck this. Yeah, Psychosis joins. Chavo leaves. He's like, no, I'm too goofy for, like, I don't know why he wouldn't join. But he just leaves. I guess because Eddie beat him up and shaved his head and shit.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. That's it.
Yeah, so that was awesome.
Yeah. And then somehow we get immediately following that something that's even more racist when Larry Zbyszko.
The Nitro goes dancing again first.
Yeah, well, look, but the Nitro girl dancing and Che is doing a dance solo, and Larry Zbyszko describes her as being from the mysterious Far East.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Which that was racist even for 1998. It's not like 2018 eyes make that racist. Like, no, that was just racist all the time forever. That's like when your grandparents still call it Oriental.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Speaking of racist, here comes Scott Steiner.
So my major note for this whole segment is that Judy Bagwell is very tall.
She's huge, eh?
Yeah. She's taller than Buff Bagwell and is like eye to eye with Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So what do we got? Scott Steiner says he had problems with Buff, but they're all over. So Buff comes out with his mother.
Yeah.
And he says they still have issues.
Yeah.
So Scott wants to fight. Judy's like, no, Buff, you got to be cool. But then Scotty insulted her, so she went nuts. And then Buff gets low-blowed by Steiner, and that's it.
Yeah, I tuned out for that whole segment.
But yeah, man, if we're ever going to pick a Nitro, we got Warrior, we got Judy Bagwell. This is good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this really encapsulates 1998 Nitro.
I just love that Judy is out there, and she's like, no, Buff. You can't overreact to this shit. And the moment Scotty says something to her, she like loses it.
I mean, the whole Judy Bagwell thing had to, like, was obviously a rib on Buff Bagwell in real life. Mother's still running his life, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
When did she become tag champion?
After this, right? Not till Russo.
No, I think no way. She was like tag champion after, because Rick Steiner wins it, and he gets to pick a partner, and he picks Judy.
Oh.
And then something happens with... Oh, but Judy's in a... Yeah, Judy's on a forklift when Russo's there.
Yeah, so Judy Bagwell on a pole match.
No, she's on a forklift because a pole couldn't hold it. Yeah. That's one of the few WCW pay-per-views I saw during that time. But I know when Judy is kicked off the team, she's replaced by Chaos from High Voltage. So one thing I remember was Rick Steiner and Kenny Chaos were tag team champions for a short period.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was very excited because High Voltage were somewhat, maybe could have been something, maybe.
Yeah. But,
nothing happened.
No.
Boy. Okay. So what a segment there.
Yeah.
Now we get Hoovy versus Prince Iaukea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I took zero notes on this. So this one's all you.
Okay. So I wrote that and I read, but Disco Inferno is here instead. And then he says, people aren't here for a match. They're here to see him dance. He asked for his music to play, but then Disco just knocks him off the apron and they have a match. And then he just leaves. Oh, no, no.
Juventude knocks him off the apron, right?
Juventude Hips knocks him off the apron. And Tony Schiavone tells us that Billy Kidman's here. He comes out to chase off Disco. He's the Cruiserweight champion at the time. He says, here is Billy Kidman's top three contenders. He is talking about Juventud Guerrera, Prince Iaukea, and Disco Inferno.
Yeah. Yeah.
The three top contenders for the Cruiserweight title.
That may have been true at the time. Yeah.
That is quite the fall from like a year ago.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that's terrible.
Oh. Okay. So next up is
Is Kevin Nash, right?
Yeah. This was one of the most offensive things they've done.
Oh yeah, easily. Well, first of all, you have Kevin Nash coming out in a sleeveless FUBU baseball jersey.
Yes.
And if there's anything that screams 1998, it's that, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is the angle people aren't familiar, where Scott Hall had left the Wolfpack and aligned himself with the NWO Black and White again. And his alcoholism, I guess, in real life was pretty bad. So WCW decided to turn it into an angle and had him show up to shows drunk and like had beers during matches and stuff. So he comes out in this, after Kevin Nash calls him out and, you know, like makes a terrible last call joke.
Kevin Nash says that he used to be a bouncer, so he's used to beating up drunks. And then calls out Scott Hall.
Yep.
Who comes out with a drink in his hand.
Yeah.
Stumbling.
Like staggering around. Yeah. Like he's like three sheets to the wind. And then he runs away. And Kevin Nash chases after him, and then they do like a car chase scene.
They run away, they go backstage, it's so dark you can't see anything.
Yep.
And then you see a car drive away, so Nash just gets in a car, a limo, and he starts chasing the other car.
Yep. And Scott Hall is in the limo, like he's like hanging out the window taunting Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
And that's the last we see of either of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was something, at least on the
Probably drove to a bar together, right?
Probably, yeah. Bischoff at least admitted that he regretted that, and he said, you know, that isn't acceptable. You shouldn't have done that. So
that's awful.
He tried to say, you know, oh, we were trying to bring reality, but yeah, that was too much. So
yeah,
at least he's man enough to admit that that is incredibly offensive and awful.
And I mean, at least Scott Hall is still alive. Right. Like,
and he's doing,
you know, like
now.
Yeah. And he's doing quite, I mean, as well as he could. So that's the, I mean, I don't know if happy ending is the right word, but like happy ending for wrestling, I guess.
Okay. Well, DDP said, you know, you can come live with me, but you can't fucking drink.
Yeah.
And I'm going to save your life. And he did.
Yeah.
DDP's the fucking man.
Yeah. Good for DDP. Seriously. Yeah.
Like he saved Jake's life. He saved Scott Hall's life. Like,
yeah.
DDP's like, people don't talk about him enough, but probably the best guy ever in wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's got to be on the Mount Rushmore of, like, decent human beings involved in professional wrestling. Yeah.
And, like, the hardest worker. Like, he's fucking rich from his yoga shit. And he did that, like, by himself with, like, no help.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable. So
good for DDP. Yeah. I like DDP.
Yeah, good for him.
And, you know, a great match
with Goldberg and with Savage.
Yeah. That Goldberg match, by the way, if people listening to this haven't seen that, like, and you want to see a crowd that's just going apeshit. Like, the crowd for that match is unlike anything you will ever see. It's like, crazy.
People talk about big fight feels. Like, yeah. Most, you know, they say that sometimes in wrestling matches, but it still feels like a wrestling crowd. This felt like a fucking heavyweight boxing fight.
Oh, yeah.
It was so good. And the announcers are, like, losing it. They're so excited. It was just a special, special match. And, yeah, if you haven't seen it in a while, give it a rewatch, because it really is better than you remember.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Go ahead.
My next note is that right after this, Bobby Heenan makes a Blues Brothers reference, which is actually less dated in 1998 than Triple H and Undertaker wrestling in 2018 is.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then we get a Chris Jericho Raven match.
We do. Yeah. By the way, like, this random match for the TV title is, like, more hated and, like, has more, like, heat and violence to it than, like, any WWE blood feud from the past 2 years has had. Like, seriously, like, I mean, I feel like I'm bagging on the modern WWE product today, and I don't, you know, I don't mean to, but, like, man, like, they do this collar and elbow tie-up, and they, like, fall through the ropes to the outside, and then they just start, like, throwing chairs at each other. I mean, this is, like, they're into it. Like, This is pretty good, by the way. Sure.
It might not be up to the fucking Becky Charlotte match coming up, or happened yesterday, as you know.
Yeah.
No, it's happening next week. Yeah. Okay. We're a week away from it. I'm very excited for that. Did you hear the angle they shot today?
Oh, we're at the Performance Center or something?
Yeah. Awesome.
Becky Lynch is so great. She's so great. Yeah.
I never thought she's so great as a babyface. I didn't expect this great heel run, but oh, it's so good. So that's a short match. Jericho wins.
It rules. It's very good. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Raven was really good at the short schmas at this stage in his career. Actually, the Raven Goldberg match for the U.S. title is another one of my absolute favorite WCW matches.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun too. The one on Nitro.
Yeah.
Like, he gets chucked over into the guardrails and shit. Yeah.
And they have the fake fans that throw Raven back into the ring.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's so good.
That's such a good moment too. Goldberg winning his first title.
Oh, yeah, it's so good. Fuck. Yeah.
We should stop this podcast and just do a Goldberg podcast.
You like, if we watched, like, I mean, I don't know how long we could make episodes about most of those matches, but, like, if we did a Goldberg match per episode, that
would that be, like, too weird because that's your last name too?
No, it would be good.
Okay.
We should start tacking on random Goldberg matches to this show. Why not?
My old podcast. Have a
segment. What's
my
that?
Old podcast, The Pro Wrestling Super Show.
Yeah.
Me and Tim used to watch an earthquake match during the middle of the show. We would take a commercial break, and then we'd watch an earthquake match and do live commentary, and then we'd continue our show.
That's great. Yeah. If we want to start doing that gimmick with, like, Goldberg versus Jerry Flynn and whatever, I'm down.
Maybe we'll do some bonus footage for the Patreons.
When we launch, the Goldberg stuff will be our bonus tier for the Patreon that we launch.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
So here we are.
All right. This is the meat and potatoes of this Nitro.
Yeah. So we get Mean Gene, who's in the ring with Rick Steiner.
Yep.
I typed something incorrectly because I wrote a prom starts. So that's incorrect. Yep.
Yeah, well, that would be pretty great. So, first of all, there's a couple things that let's set the stage for people. So, Rick Steiner and Mean Gene start talking about
Rick Steiner's upcoming match with Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
And then...
Wait. Scott Steiner's feuding with Buff Bagwell, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think they have a match at Halloween Havoc. I don't know. We'll have to
I think Rick and Scott have a match, and I think Buff probably turns on Rick and joins Scott or some stupid...
That's probably true. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
I don't even care.
Yeah.
All I know is that Chucky probably was not involved.
Nope.
But, so... They start talking, and then we hear the Chucky laughter. And then they show Chucky on the Tron, you know, the Turner Tron, right?
Yeah.
And then Mean Gene, of course, says, "Get that dummy out of here."
Yep.
Yes. But also, can we talk? So it is very clear that Brad Dourif is not here, that he pre-taped all of these lines. I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But like, he pre-taped it as one segment and just like had somebody reading the other lines because the timing is all off.
Oh yeah, it's like they aren't even listening to each other.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, because they can't, right? So yeah, I mean, it is bad, but Chucky's promo is hilarious because it's basically a Ric Flair promo in the Chucky voice.
Yeah.
His first line is like, "Rick Steiner, you're losing to your brother while I'm out here doing love scenes with Jennifer Tilly."
Yeah. That's true.
Which is 100% a Flair line, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. It basically just tells him, you know, Scott Steiner's going to kill him. Basically, yeah. It's the promo, right?
And then Chucky tells Mean Gene at some point to shut the hell up. And Rick Steiner very quietly says, "Gene, don't let him talk to you like that." And I think that Rick Steiner thinks Chucky is real.
Maybe.
Yeah. But but then Chucky finally gets to the point, right?
Yeah.
Where he says that the reason that he's out here is not only to promote his movie, which comes out in 6 days, but also he's going to become a director, and Scott Steiner is the star of his upcoming movie, and Rick Steiner can't beat up Scott Steiner to prevent him from filming the movie.
Wow. I didn't catch any of that.
So he says that. That's the end of the promo.
Okay.
But first of all, I want that so badly. I want to see the movie directed by Chucky that stars Scott Steiner.
Oh my goodness.
I want to live in the world where Chucky is a real person and is somehow not in prison for killing hundreds of people.
Nope.
And becomes a movie director and decides the star in my movie is Scott Steiner. He's the person I want to have the most lines.
Oh man, you're a big horror movie guy.
I love horror movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like the Chucky movies?
So I'll say this. I think that the original ones are pretty bad and get worse. And then like by this time, like the mid 90s, the ones with Jennifer Tilly, like, you know, Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky, they're like obviously like schlocky, you know, like they're doing it on purpose. And then I'll say this, the two that they've done for Netflix that star Brad Dourif's daughter, Brad Dourif is the guy who does the voice of Chucky,
yeah,
are both awesome. The second one is really awesome, but I would highly recommend watching both of them.
Huh. Cool.
So yeah. And you really don't need to watch the originals to get it. Like there may be some references that you miss, but like most of them you can, you know, if you're smart, you can catch up, you know?
So, okay, so you're a person who's seen all these movies, and you have Chucky.
Yep.
You're the booker of Nitro. You have Chucky at your disposal.
Yep.
What would you have done?
I would have had him kill Dale Torber.
There you go.
In a backstage segment, I would have had him kill Dale Torber. That's what I would have done.
Or at least like stalk someone and have them like run away or something.
Yeah, totally.
You know what they should have done? That moment where like Nash ran backstage and it was all dark.
Yeah.
You should have done something there.
Right. Or, I mean, like, Ultimate Warrior had clear magic powers during this time. I mean, he could have teamed up with Ultimate Warrior to play more tricks on Hogan.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Another question. What is your favorite horror movie?
Oh, boy. That's really tough. Let's think. I like Suspiria a lot, which they're remaking and comes out in a couple of weeks. So I'm hesitantly, you know, optimistic to see that, I guess. People say it's okay. What else? I like...
What if the Suspiria villain appeared on Nitro?
I mean, that would be tremendous. I mean, that would be really great. It's like some weird ass witches just hanging out on Nitro.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyone who's listening to this podcast who has seen Suspiria will find this hilarious. I think that would be really funny. Steiner instead of Jennifer Harper in Suspiria. Yeah. That's what I want. Rick Steiner as the like final girl in that movie. Yeah.
Mine's The Shining, and
I like The Shining.
Yeah, I'm a huge Kubrick fan. Probably, obviously. If you don't know me, that's probably one of my favorite set of films. You would probably guess that. But like, a hotel would not be a good villain to show up on Nitro.
No, absolutely not. But it would be great to have.
Oh, like, my God, they could have done a Nitro at
the Overlook Hotel. Overlook Hotel, right?
Yeah.
That would be great. What about the Steiner brothers versus those two creepy twin girls?
That would have been crazy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Or the scene where Jack Nicholson goes into the room and there's the beautiful naked woman that turns into like a gross old woman, but instead of Jack Nicholson, it's Ric Flair.
As the gross old woman after.
I think they wouldn't care. I think that he would just like woo and strut around and still get down to it. Take his mom.
Yeah. Oh boy. So you know how you follow that up?
Yeah.
You throw Eric Bischoff out of the building.
in the third segment that is meant clearly to get over the owner of the United Center.
Oh yeah, they're sucking up to this guy so much. Yeah. He like shows up. He's like, "Well, you can ban Ric Flair from the building, like, but I own the building, so Ric Flair is going to be in my like suite, and we're going to party."
It's like, okay. Boy. Oh man, it's hilarious. Yeah, like this show is really about how awesome the owner of the United Center is.
He's the best written character on the show,
and by far. He's also like the most powerful, like his segments are like what people picture when they think about Hogan's creative control.
Yeah.
Like no one gets anything over on him. He's like super powerful. He's like surrounded by beautiful women at all times. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to mention, they've been hyping an NWO Wolfpack versus NWO Hollywood match all night.
Yes, they have. Yeah.
And two of the participants. It doesn't happen because Nash and Hall ran away.
Oh, that's it. Okay, I get it. Yeah. Well, I mean, at least it spares a Conan match. I guess they're
in a drunken Hall match.
Yeah.
So we get the main event: Goldberg versus the Giant in a no DQ match.
Yeah, which is a no DQ match, which Goldberg wins via countout.
Yes. I love this. Stevie Ray attacks because he's NWO Hollywood, right?
Yep.
And DDP comes out and he saves Goldberg because he wants the title shot on Halloween Havoc. So that's good.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
Yeah. And they actually have a really cool spot.
This time, by the way.
Sorry?
What title does the Giant have at this time? Because he came out with a belt.
He had the U.S. title in 96, but this is 98.
No, because Bret Hart had the U.S. title.
Yeah.
Is he a tag champ?
Maybe. I gotta look this up. You know how to look this up.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, he's obviously not the cruiserweight champ, because that was it. He's not the TV champ because Jericho.
What title did they even have?
I mean, it's a tag, right? I think it has to be the tag belts. I don't know who would have been tag champ.
Okay. Tag team. WCW tag team titles. I'm going to lose that right now. I'm going to... I just don't want a picture. That's what it is. No, that works. What do you have there? I know at one point he won, he was tag champs with Sting, and they had a singles match, and the winner got to choose partner for choosing to be the champion. I know that was in 98, but let's see here. So, wow, okay, changed hands a lot. So July 20th, Skull and the Giant, yep. They beat Sting and Kevin Nash. All right. Oh, and then next up, yeah, that's when Rick Steiner and Kenny Chaos won the tag titles after that.
Very good.
So, Judy Bagwell, according to Wikipedia, was not the tag champions.
That's not how I remember it.
Me neither. I think it's in a side note they have about Judy Bagwell, but that's not cool.
Yeah.
Judy Bagwell is a champion in my books.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, they had a cool spot in this match, though, I really thought. Where Giant goes to chokeslam DDP and Goldberg spears him.
Yeah, that was a good spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then we get a count out.
Also, I mean, the Giant is so giving. Goldberg gives him a scoop slam like 30 seconds in his match. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. The Giant just, he would do anything anyone asked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think, like, in terms of main event stars, like, him and The Rock are probably the two most giving main eventers of all time. And, like,
yeah.
The Rocket didn't really hurt because he could always get his heat back on the mic, but the Giant had absolutely hurt him.
It certainly did. And poor guy, here he is on our show again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. I feel bad for him. I mean, it's not even a show about him, and he still shows up, you know?
I know. Like, all the time.
Yeah.
So, we get the Nitro Girls dancing again. We get the Wolfpack Hollywood match not happening. And then Michael Buffer tells us it is time for the greatest tag team match in the history of Nitro.
Yeah.
Followed by a commercial break.
Followed by more Michael Buffer.
Followed by more Michael Buffer.
I was trying to explain to my wife, by the way, who, like, you know, had never seen WCW until she sat down while I was watching this show.
Oh, boy. What an introduction.
Yeah, what an introduction. I mean, it's actually a pretty good introduction, right? Their, like, massive failures. But I was explaining that, like, that Michael Buffer is, like, sort of a pure encapsulation of everything that was great and horrible about WCW. That they just, like, money was no object. That they, like, probably paid him $100,000 to do this, you know, and, you know, ring entrance for this tag match that no one remembers, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. But yeah, here we have fucking Bret Hart and Hulk Hogan versus Sting and the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
Sting and Warrior teaming for the first time in like 14 years here on Nitro.
Yeah.
And Warrior comes out wearing like jeans and like, what is he wearing?
Yeah, he's
like wearing long pants.
Yeah, and his trench coat. Yeah, he has the one Warrior Nation trench coat.
Yeah, because it's the opposite of the NWO.
Yeah.
You see? OWN.
Yeah.
Good for him. And he had the bat signal, the warrior signal.
Yes.
I stopped taking notes at that point.
This match is awful. I mean, there's nothing to talk about. Yeah.
What happens?
Yeah. I mean, Warrior doesn't even tag in, right? Like, basically, Sting gets his ass kicked, and the whole thing is gearing up for a Warrior Hot tag that we never get. Because the NWO Hollywood or NWO Black and White or whatever you want, they come out and attack the, you know, Sting and Warrior team. The announcers, by the way, keep calling the NWO B team people the troops, which, you know, really wasn't intended in 1998, but in 2018 is a great way to get JR to not like the NWO. I'm just kidding, everyone. I love the military. But so then don't even get a finish.
What happens?
I thought you were talking about Jim Ross. I didn't realize you were talking about yourself.
Oh yeah, me. Yeah. We don't get a finish. So they're beating up Warrior, and then a bunch of smoke fills up the ring, right?
Yeah.
And so it's clear that like Warrior is about to use his magic powers or something, but Hogan stops him from using his magic powers by throwing him out of the ring.
Yeah.
And he stops him. But the magic powers work on Sting because the smoke goes away and Sting has two baseball bats and then just starts wrecking out.
Man. Imagine after this, like in 99, the WWF brought in Warrior to feud with Taker.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh. Like, that's a dream. The magic battle between those two. And like 99, Undertaker was like crazy cult leader at that time too.
Yeah, that ruled.
Oh my God, would that have been awesome? I'm sad now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Just to compare, by the way, I'm looking this up. This show ran against a Raw that was actually pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it the first match was a tag title match where the New Age Outlaws beat LOD 2000. And then the rest of the show was a tournament for the vacant IC title.
Oh, yeah. That episode. Rock
ended up winning. Yeah. And then the main event was Steve Austin and The Rock versus the Brothers of Destruction, Kane and The Undertaker.
It's essentially the same main event as the other show.
Yeah, it, exactly. It's the exact same main event, Steve.
Pretty much. Steve Austin and The Rock, Bret Hart and Hogan.
Yeah,
sure. Warrior and Sting, Undertaker and Kane. Same yeah. thing.
But that IC title tournament was actually pretty good. I remember.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Although looking at the website that I'm looking at, it's hilarious. So I'm going to run through this very quickly. So Ken Shamrock in round one beat Steve Blackman in 2 minutes 30 seconds.
Okay.
Val Venus beats Mark Miro in 2 minutes 15 seconds.
Boy, sprint.
Yeah. Mankind beats Mark Henry in 3 minutes 18 seconds.
I call X-Pac bullshit.
Beats Jeff Jarrett in 3 minutes 9 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Now we're into the semifinals. Ken Shamrock defeats Val Venus in 4 minutes and 36 seconds. Basically a marathon, right?
Yeah.
X-Pac then beats Mankind in 3 minutes and 16 seconds. And then the final is Ken Shamrock versus X-Pac in 3 minutes 56 seconds.
I bet you that main event's that final's good.
I'll bet, yeah, I'm sure it's good. I'll bet a lot of those matches are good. They all yeah. It's all good people. Everyone can
Yeah. Just a little more time might have been nice, but whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was our visit of Nitro in 1998. Is it everything you remembered?
Yeah. And more and more.
this was something like
yeah.
people. Actually it's very similar to current like 3 hour, Raws. Except for instead of bullshit recaps and pointless angles, it's super long matches that are good, but pointless and don't go anywhere. So it's kind of yeah. the same thing.
Just yeah, I mean, replace. I guess like in a vacuum, that's better. But like, man, the television is awful. So awful.
3 hours is just too long for a weekly television show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or like they should or like do like. If they did like an hour of the cruiserweights, I don't want to refix Raw. Let's move on. Yeah, so that was Nitro. I don't know what else to say. This was wacky. This was a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah.
There's some cool stuff in there that I would like to see, you know, more of, like the Alex Wright Finley stuff and more La Parca.
Yeah, absolutely. Did they WWE sign LA Park and Super Collar? I think that would really solve a lot of problems.
Oh man. In my WWE universe, I'm soon gonna have LA Park debut and take out Roman Reigns, and it's going to be great.
Oh, that's really good. I mean, like, LA Park versus Roman Reigns would be such a good match.
Oh my god.
Yeah. It would be so fucking good.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Man.
That's the peak of wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, Roosh versus Roman Reigns would also be really good.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Roman Reigns versus Andrade Sin Almas is something I want to see too. For some
yeah, reason. Yeah, for sure. Well, Almas is really great. I mean,
oh my goodness, yeah.
They should just like they should just give him at this point, just let him go nuts. You know,
they should just give him the world title and let him just carry it forever.
Yeah, I mean, until there's someone else who's good, like
and feud with Ray Jr. for a while.
Yeah, they'll probably have him feud with Ray Jr. for a while. They should like have him feud with Danielson too. Why not?
Oh yeah. Oh my goodness.
But that's the thing, like, that's what makes the WWE now, like, so annoying, is that, like, we can sit here and come up with, like, realistic dream matches with people they actually have on their roster, and I know that when they give them to us, they will be bad and boring.
They just gave me the Mae Young Classic, which is going really well. I can't complain too much.
Yeah.
And fucking, they just signed Mia Yim and... fucking Matt Riddle. Like,
yeah.
It's ridiculous the amount of talent they have.
Yeah. I mean, they have the best roster maybe ever, but ever. Like,
there's like no comparison.
It's like, no one can thrive, right? Because yeah. It's just like, there's just talent everywhere, you know?
Like, they could do two World War IIIs at the same time.
Yeah. World War VI? Six
rings.
Yeah.
World War VI with six rings.
Yeah. They could do it in Saudi Arabia. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So this was our second last episode of our Spooktacular. Next week will be our Halloween special coming out 2 days before Halloween. Get very excited for that. We have a very special treat for you for that. So, there is that. And then in 2 weeks, we'll come back to this era of Nitro and watch our Hogan Warrior 2 from Halloween Havoc 98. So that'll be exciting. Anything to say before we move on?
No. If you're there's an article that I wrote on PWO. So if you're listening to this and you go to Pro Wrestling Only on the front page, you can see an article that I wrote about a match that I really love, Kyphon versus Conte. And then also, I was a guest on WrestleSplania. And if you go, I think it's for the Patreon members only. So if you're a Patreon member, you're welcome to listen to me talk about Lucha and why I like Lucha. Or if you want to hear that, then you can subscribe to them and you get it. Yeah.
I just listened to you on an episode.
Oh, Music of Matt, too. Right?
Yeah, that's the one I listened to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been out too. I talk about all of La Parca's theme songs.
Yep. That's pretty good. And also coming up pretty soon, within the next week, will be me and Stacy previewing the Evolution pay-per-view and talking about the remaining the quarter and the semifinals of the Mae Young Classic. So
I'm really excited about that. I like when you guys get together. I like her podcast that she did with Matt D too all those years ago.
Yeah. We've hit like all of the Mae Young Classic. We're doing pretty good. We previewed it, we did the first round, we did the second round, and now we're doing the two semis and quarters. So
awesome.
Yeah. We didn't expect to do this many, but it's been a pretty exciting tournament. So if you haven't checked out the Mae Young Classic, go look it up, especially the Mika Satomura versus Mercedes Martinez match, which is fucking great. Mia Yim versus Toni Storm was fucking great. A lot of good stuff in there, so check that out. But until then, next week we'll be back to end our spooktacular, and have a good old Halloween special.
Yes.